Nefesh HaChaim, we're in Shaar Beis, Pirk Yud Aleph. We were speaking last time, we spoke about that specifically, we're saying all our mitzvahs in Praz HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's specifically tefillah, specifically prayer, that has the strongest power of all. All of our prayers in power Kodesh Baruch Hu. In fact, Hashem desires our prayers. He wants our prayers. That's why he had the matriarchs were all barren. All of them were all barren because Hashem wants our prayers. It could be that was the pshat why Moshe Rabbein was a stutterer. Right? That he couldn't speak, and yet he needed to try harder to become a speaker, to speak to Klal Yisrael. He needed to work harder to become a speaker. And he was the most powerful speaker of all. But he started with being like a non-speaker. Lo ish dvarim anoich, I can't even speak. So it could be it's dafka when, therefore dafka Kodesh Baruch Hu holds us back from things that we want, so that we try harder. And the Midrash that says, Ma pe loshen eitz chaim, it heals the tongue, the tree of life. So the Midrash says tree of life refers to Torah, and Torah heals the tongue. And where do we learn that from? Moshe Rabbeinu, who was unable to communicate, became the most supreme communicator of all, most powerful communicator in world history. Until today we still read what he wrote, what he said. So that is the power of Torah, that can actually turn someone who's a non-speaker into a speaker. So that, but it could be that specifically Hashem makes it that we want these things so that we'll be davening for them harder. Specifically, sometimes the people with the biggest setbacks will become the biggest successes, and that's a reality. But really what Hashem really wants is he wants us to try, and part of the trying is the expression of trying, the expression of desiring is prayer. Prayer is the ultimate expression of what you desire, so you ask for it, you pray for it. So that is that's what Hashem wants. He wants us to want, and he wants us to daven. And then the last thing we mentioned is that when we call to Hashem, his voice responds in turn. He calls to us, and he's coming towards us. We call to him for his help, and he calls back to us. And the posture that we brought is that he comes with his chelo, he comes with his army, with his troops. He comes down with all of his troops to come and help us. We call for his assistance, and he comes down with his troops. So that's what he picks up now in the beginning of chapter 11, Perek Yud Aleph, V'masha kosuv lifnei cheloi, that Hashem responds and comes down to us before his troops, before his army. Ramaz zeh ikar gadol shel inyan hatfila, so it hints to this great principle of prayer, sheklal kavanosahu, that the general intention of prayer, the overall intention of prayer should be lechaven rak lohisif koyach b'kedusha, that our intention when we daven, our main intention should be to add power to Hashem's holiness, to empower the holiness, empower holiness, the state of holiness, empower the heavens. Shekmosha ish mi anshei chayil, just like we have a warrior from the army. So every army we know, every country has its elite troops, its top troops with the paratroopers, whatever it is, whatever the green berets, whatever you call it, their top soldiers. Right? The Russians have their Cossacks. So they have, just like every person who is of the army, mashlich kol inyono, ignores all his own personal issues. He's in the army, he's fighting for something, he forgets all about it. He forgets about home, he forgets about his kids, he forgets about all his own issues, own personal problems. He throws it all aside, but tzorki atzma mineged, he forgets about all his own needs. Moisen nafshe b'tzoynoi. And he gives up, and he delivers his whole self. He delivers his nefesh. He's moisa nefesh. He's self-sacrificing, but it's in terms of his desire. His desire becomes rakal kvod amelech, that he fights for the honor of the king. That's the elite soldier who bamish forgets his whole personal life, and he puts his whole heart into fighting for the glory of the king. She yasig hakesam lucha shel oisa medina, to grasp the crown of the kingship of that country that they're attacking. V'tinose malchusan, that his kingship, the kingship of his king, should be elevated, should be exalted. So that's the analogy of this super soldier, Cain. And we should use that analogy for ourselves. Cain roi mu'oid. And so it's very fitting. Le'odom ha'yosha, for a person, a straight person, a person who thinks straight, a person who understands what Hashem wants from us in this world, what's our function in this world, what's our purpose in life. The Adam HaYosher Lassum Kol Kavanosei, to put all of his intentions, the Toya Machshavta, the purity of his thoughts, his purest thoughts, his most direct thoughts, his purest thoughts, Bitfilosa, in his prayer, because that's the war. The prayer itself is the war. Bitfilosa Rakno Hesif Tes Koyach, to only add, giving more strength by Ilomis accusation to the holy worlds, to the upper holy worlds. And to arouse with his voice, so the voice of his prayer, Akol Elyon, the replying, the responding voice. We said that when we call, Hashem responds, he calls back. Now I'm Shochem Inei Birkon, to draw down from the upper world, to draw down from Hashem Brochas, Unahiro, and light, to draw down the blessing, divine blessing and light, the Kula, to the entire world. Hamshik Mimena Brochas V'or Lakol, draw down Brochas and light for all. Navi Ruach Hatuma, and to push away the spirit of defilement, the spirit of contamination, to push away all of that which is defiled, to push it out of the world. Avi ruach tuma min ha'olam, to get rid of all evil from the world. V'yisukan olam, and to remedy the world. The malchusoi, for the kingship of Hashem is bok shmoi, v'lo al inyono v'tzolke atzmoi klan, and not for his own personal needs at all. Not that he should be set up, not that he should have a good panosa, or that he should have a good family, whatever. Not for his own needs at all, but purely for the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'einenu rois, and our eyes see, benusach tfilas Rosh Hashanah. When you look at the way that Rosh Hashanah prayer is arranged, from beginning to the end, the whole prayer of Rosh Hashanah is arranged only for the glory of Hashem's kingship. That's basically what we're asking for. What we're asking for in our davening is the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kingship. That's what we're trying to establish with our prayers. That it should be elevated like at first, like of old, Kedem Chet Adam Arishon, before the sin of Adam Arishon, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was supremely present, and Gan Eden was filled with Hashem's presence, with the glory of Hashem, the beauty of Hashem. So we wanted to bring the world to that beauty, to that glory that existed before the first man ever sinned. So that's the objective of the prayer of Rosh Hashanah. Okay, and not just Rosh Hashanah, let's go on. Begam nusa tfilas kol shana, and also the prayers of all year round. Our weekday prayers, our weekly prayer, and daily prayers. Afshelefi pshuto hanire, even though the simple understanding of our prayers, as it appears, is rubik akule mesudal yonei tzolke atzmeinu, that most of the prayer is arranged according to the subject of our needs. We look at the Shmoneh Esrei that we daven, so we see it's all the requests, all about things we need. We want wisdom, we want to be able to do tshuva, we want Hashem to forgive us, we want good health, we want panosa, we want Yerushalayim rebuilt. It's all things that we want. So even the seemingly, the poshut pshat of the daily prayer is things that we need for ourselves. Vadai boru l'kol mevin, however, anyone who looks a little bit deeper into the prayer, anyone who thinks a little bit deeply into the Shmoneh Esrei, we'll see. Vadei boru l'kol mevin. Anyone with a little bit of insight will see. I mean, koimuhu mukhra, and from the text that comes out, sheloi kivnu anshe knesset hagedoyla al anira mipshute perish amidus levan. That the anshe knesset hagedoyla, who were the sages of the Second Temple period, who authored the Shmoneh Esrei for us, they authored the prayer for us. They actually arranged all the brachas, but their intention was not what appears from the surface. Is the surface intention, right? Sometimes a person will say a story, and it just sounds like a nice story, but the audience understands he's hinting to something deeper. On the surface, it looks like a simple story, but they understand there's a deeper meaning behind the story. So therefore, also, when one looks at the Shmoneh Esrei, beyond the superficial level, you go a little bit deeper, it was the intention of the Anshe Knesset HaGedolah was not from what seems to us from the superficial meaning, as we wrote before, but rather there was very deep and hidden intentions. And we're still going to explain this more. But the idea is what we said, that it's the restoring of the crown of a Kodesh Bokha, that Hashem should be the supreme ruler of the world once again. That His presence shouldn't be vanished from the world, that Hashem is absent from the world, but rather Hashem should be present in the world. Means He's present to our eyes. We feel Him, we sense Him, we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The whole world sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu as King of the world. So that's really what we're asking for. That's really what we're asking for. We're not just asking for our personal needs. What we do see in the prayers, it's all in the plural. You know, we don't just ask for wisdom for ourselves. We ask for wisdom for, in general, for everyone. But the bigger goal is not just for Israel. The bigger goal is for HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, for the tikkun of the world, that the whole world should be the tikkun. But tefillas neged tmidim tikkun. Now we know also our prayers correspond to the daily sacrifices. Right? In the temple they used to bring two lambs every day, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. And those lambs were burnt 100%, they were fully burnt. None of the meat was consumed. It was all burnt on a fire. It all went up to the heavens. There was no share for a commoner. There are types of sacrifices where the owner eats part of the meat, or eats almost all the meat, or the kohen eats some of the meat, or the kohen eats even more of the meat, like with the chatzis. But the tamid is, it's all fully for Hashem. So therefore, if our prayer is instead of those sacrifices, that they are sacrifices that are fully for Hashem, and that's what we're saying. Really, we are doubling for the glory of Hashem. We're not really asking for our own needs. Now, the truth is, everyone understands that if a person serves the king faithfully, certainly he will be the one who gets the highest reward. He wants to empower us that we can continue to serve him. So therefore, of course he will reward us, because that'll give us more power to continue to serve him. Once a person is doing a good job, like in any company, a person who's a really good worker, right, who's a good manager, whatever it is, he gets the biggest bonuses, he gets the most incentives, because the company doesn't want to lose him. So he's the one who's most rewarded. But the idea that he's not doing it for the reward, the idea is that he's doing it for the company. He's working for the greater goal, and the company rewards him because they want to encourage him to continue. He's doing such great work. They want to encourage him. They want him to stay. They don't want him to go and move on to another, to someone else, somewhere else. So certainly, this is really a secret. If we are really doing for Hashem, that's the best way to guarantee our own well-being.